Listening to CPR here on CFRC 101.9 FM. This is our last Calls from Home of 2016, where we take requests, messages, letters, writings of support. I haven't been in Kingston for a little while, so there's going to be probably some stuff we'll touch on in January related to messages and letters and other things. But for now, we are going to play some songs. We're going to play some audio pieces. We're going to recap the news. Do everything we can for this very last episode of CPR and Calls from Home for the year, and sending out just whatever thoughts and messages and support I can to people out there right now. This is a tough time of the year for anyone who can't be with their family, provided you want to be with your family. Anyway, let's not get into that. So first, we're going to start with some news headlines. I'm going to start with a piece from the CBC, which was published on December 17th, 2016, about Indigenous prisoners that face discrimination and violence, which is sort of the report of frontline workers who are intimately associated with this problem. Armand McKenzie spent 15 years representing Indigenous offenders before he quit the practice. He's an Innu lawyer and said that when an offender showed up for a court appearance at the Sept-Îles Courthouse on Quebec's North Shore recently, he'd face a room filled with white people, the judge, the constable, the prosecutor, and the support staff. McKenzie told CBC's Quebec AM that he felt like a player in the business, like another person contributing to the misery people were going through. And often French was the third language, and English even more difficult to get a trial in. They also spoke to a man named Albert Dumont, who said that once an Indigenous person is convicted and goes from being a suspect to an inmate, that person can face a whole new set of challenges. Dumont, who worked for 3 years in one of Ontario's toughest prisons, said Indigenous prisoners are treated differently, including when it comes to punishment. He worked in the J unit at Millhaven in Bath, Ontario, and said that inmates would get beaten black and blue and be thrown in segregation for upwards of 2 months and not have a hearing. They'd only be let out when I'd get involved. The sins of the system are far greater than what the offender ever committed in a lot of cases, which is a fairly concrete example of systemic racism affecting individual and people in a broad sense. In his autumn 2016 report, Canada's Auditor General, Michael Ferguson, highlighted that Indigenous people make up just 3% of the country's adult population, but they account for 26% of the inmates in federal institutions and affect higher rates depending on the area of the country and in local and provincial jails as well. Dumont is not surprised. He said the inmates he worked with grew up surrounded by violence. They're in emotional turmoil. They didn't have any role models. They thought things as a child that no person should have to witness. Dumont was recently appointed by the Attorney General of Ontario to serve on an elders council that will offer advice to find ways to adapt the justice system to the reality of Indigenous people. And Prime Minister Trudeau has asked Justice Minister Jody Wilson-Raybould to review changes to the criminal justice system over the last decade, with one of the goals being to reduce the rate of incarceration of Indigenous people. But Dumont has said that very few offenders get access to a Gladue report, despite it being required by Canada's criminal code. For those who don't know, the Gladue principle indicates that the history and background of Indigenous offenders has to be taken into account by the judge during sentencing to prioritize sanctions other than incarceration. A lot of people see the Gladue system as a get-out-of-jail card. They are so wrong in assuming that, Dumont told the CBC. He said it's opting for restorative justice programs. It would address a number of issues, including a real chance for rehabilitation. If someone's in emotional turmoil, they're not receiving any other message. They're not receiving the message of spirituality, of rehabilitation. You have to get through to them emotionally. Our next story came on December 21st, was updated on the 22nd of 2016. Again from the CBC, why did Solomon die? It's the family of a mentally ill inmate who died in Ontario jail. It says that the system failed them completely. They have been searching for answers about a man who could, and their family member, who could end up lifeless in a jail cell days after being taken to custody with a diagnosed and serious mental illness. The family notified CBC that Solomon Fakiri, 30, died under mysterious circumstances December 15th in segregation at Central East Correctional Center in Lindsay, Ontario. His death is under investigation by both the coroner and the Kawartha Lakes Police Service. Fakiri's brother Youssef told CBC from their Ajax home that we're trying to come to terms with the fact that he's gone and he's not coming back. They want to know why he died, how, and they haven't received any answers. In fact, they attempted to ask the minister. Since December 15th, the Ministry of Community Safety and Correctional Services merely said a male inmate passed away at the Central East Correctional Center. Youssef told CBC that all we were told was that he died when the guards entered his cell. We haven't been given any other answers. There's been nothing to explain the bruises the family alleges covered Fakiri's face when they went to see his body. Nothing to explain the gash they say they found on his forehead. What is known that on December 4th, Fakiri was charged with 2 counts of aggravated assault, 1 count of assault, and another count of uttering threats of death and bodily harm. Also known, confirmed by the Ministry of the Attorney General, is that a mental health assessment was ordered for Fakiri on December 12th. But on the 15th, the Durham Regional Police officers knocked on the family's door to deliver the news that Fakiri was dead, and the charges against him were stayed at the request of the Crown a few days later. The family, in effect, tried to visit him for over 10 days before his death. They were refused, with the prison staff telling them Fakiri was on lockdown and some sort of administrative segregation. Again, something we have pounded against on this show constantly. It's indiscriminate use, and obviously a tragedy for this family, and a tragedy, sadly, that repeats itself across Canada far too frequently. The last story is one that you might have heard already, December 21st, from the CBC. This is from Kathleen Harris. Inmate families say that prison drug scanning tool finds false positives at alarming rate. Families of federal inmates are urging Canada's prison system to end the use of drug scanning devices they say are faulty and unreliable. The Mothers Offering Mutual Support, also known as MOMS, a group whose members have sons and daughters in prison, has filed an electronic petition in Parliament calling on Public Safety Minister Ralph Goodale to review the use of ion scanners and explore more effective alternatives to keep drugs from getting behind bars. The ion scanners devices are designed to detect trace amounts of particles. Correctional Service Canada has placed these devices in the lobbies and mailrooms of some of its prisons in a bid to reduce the flow of drugs into its facilities. And because the devices are so sensitive, MOMS is charging that they set off positive readings at an alarming rate, and false positives is the problem. And Cattrall, whose son is incarcerated at Warkworth Institution, which is very close to Kingston as well, said she has lost count of the time she has tested positive for morphine, hash, opium, and heroin. She follows a rigorous regime of washing, cleansing coins and jewelry, and driving with plastic gloves before visiting the prison to limit the chances of a false reading. Cattrall said a positive test can lead to the visit being denied. It is also recorded on an offender's file, which affects future private family visits, transfers, and paroles. Obviously, the issue here is they have done nothing wrong, and neither has the family member. She's been denied entry and knows of others who have. Obviously, MOMS is involved with it. It causes a great deal of stress because people know it has serious consequences. And the specific item that they're concerned about is the ion mobility spectrometry devices. The first ones in the 30s were called the electric snitch, but they can pick up trace amounts of prohibited substances through items like cash, credit cards, or even particles in the air. CSC is paying lip service to keeping drugs out by relying on these tests and is destroying relationships and families in the meantime. She said, maintaining strong family ties through visits is a very important component in the rehabilitation and reintegration process, but the damage caused by this flawed system is counterproductive. Of course, I'm not really sure what a solution to this would be, because I bet 10 to 1 corrections answer will be it increases security, it cuts down the drug trade, it provides a more scientific assessment than does human, fallible human tendencies, but I don't have to believe any of that. So the guide, though, for these IMS technology says that it measures drug particles down to the nanogram, which is an incredible level of sensitivity. And in fact, this has been a notable point. In fact, CSC themselves acknowledge the problems with the technology, that the tests have proven that they're too sensitive. Interesting. We also got an item in, and it's not so much a news item, but it was sent in from one of our correspondents, Giselle, who often send us information, and it's a project that maybe is more positive than the stories we've read about. It's called the Walls to Bridges Bursary Fund. And the preamble goes as such. Every year, incarcerated women at the Grand Valley Institution for Women in Kitchener earning university credits through an innovative educational program offered by Laurier's Faculty of Social Work and the Faculty of Arts, which is called Walls to Bridges, or WDB. And basically, it focuses on university or college-based classes taught in jails, prisons, and community correctional settings, and is inspired by the U.S. Inside Out Prison Exchange Program. Students who have or are incarcerated together. Students who are or have been incarcerated study together with students enrolled at Laurier. All students who successfully complete the course receive a credit. There have been 24 such courses offered in Canada, 13 of those through the Laurier Grand Valley Institution program. So it is a bursary, and they're hoping to get donations. So if you're listening to this and you are not an offender or are an offender, I don't really care who you are, but if you'd like to donate to this, they're looking for $5,000 in the next 3 days. There have been 37 donors to the program. That's not a heck of a lot of money. So they're only about $1,200 away. The project is on something called Hawkstarter. I think it's related to Laurier. It's actually being run through the Laurier alumni. So you can go to www.laurieralumni.ca. And you might want to look up Inspiring Futures Walls to Bridges Bursary Fund. It's also, if you have access to our Calls from Home Facebook group, it's posted on there. So you really should check it out. And if you do have some money to spare, I think it's a pretty worthy cause to give to. All right, and we have some more messages and information we're going to pass out after this, but let's have a song to break up my voice being the only thing you're going to hear for tonight. So up next, we have a request that came in through the channels we follow. Someone always requests this song around this time of year. So let's give it a listen. John Prine's Christmas in Prison here on Calls from Home, CFRC 101.9 FM.
It was Christmas in prison, and the food was real good. We had turkey and pistols carved out of wood. And I dream of her always, even when I don't dream. Her name's on my tongue, and her blood's in my stream. Wait a while, eternity. Old Mother Nature's got nothing on me. Come to me, run to me, come to me now. We're rooting, my sweetheart, we're flowing by God. She reminds me of a chess game with someone at my or a picnic in the rain after a prairie fire. Her heart is as big as it's a whole goddamn jail, and she's sweeter than saccharine at her drugstore sale. Wait a while, eternity. Old Mother Nature's got nothing. To me, run to me, come to me now. We're rooting, my sweetheart, we're flowing by God. Searchlight in the big yard swings around with the gun, and spotlights of snowflakes like the dust in the sun. It's Christmas in prison, there'll be music tonight. I'll probably get homesick, I love you, good night. Wait a while, eternity. Old Mother Nature's got nothing. To me, run to me, come to me now. We're rooting, my sweetheart, we're flowing by God.
Okay, and that was one of our requests that came in for Christmas in Prison by John Prine. We've been getting some emails from DLC, who's been sending in some messages about her husband, who's at Warkworth. We were speaking of it earlier. In the last few weeks, this is as of the 16th of December, Warkworth closed a building down because they had to address an asbestos problem. Apparently hasn't been addressed since the prison was opened in the early 60s. There has been doubling up and overcrowding throughout the prison. Her husband was moved to another unit, and they've been shuffling people around again. And he was quite concerned, and she was as well, that they might put him into segregation. which means that he can't make phone calls, can't receive visitors, can't teach or go to school, which is something that, you know, he's personally interested in, and obviously a lot of inmates are. So we've been talking about segregation a lot. We were lucky enough to find out later that day that he didn't get moved to SEG, but Stanley Tippett, who also knows him, was moved to segregation. Was not moved to SEG, but was moved somewhere else. And obviously, this is something we're, you know, this, we appreciate these feedback, because so much of what people hear in the media about segregation has become very negative. And that's good, because I think prior to that, we kind of thought, oh, the whole, it's not so bad. So we're happy to get those messages. We got a more recent story. This was only on Thursday from DLC, who mentioned last week that a wrongfully convicted man at Warkworth had a tooth abscess. He had a medical look over, was treated as an emergency, had the appointment booked, but then the correctional officers prevented him from going by lying to him about the time that he would be going for the appointment, so he missed it. She also writes to say that her husband has said that the food is not adequate either, and all last week and this week, the food is making people sick, and over half the range where he is was sick from either a salmonella or botulism or another foodborne illness. Hopefully it isn't botulism. So thanks for emailing us there. Remember, you can always contact this radio show at CFRCprisonradio@riseup.net. It's one of the best ways to get a hold of us. You can always write us a letter to Calls From Home or to CPR, care of CFRC 101.9 FM, Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario, Kilo 7 Lima 3 Nitro 6 K7L3N6. We got a few requests from the Calls From Home Facebook groups. So you can always ask to join that. You can message the station directly on Facebook. You can phone us. There's a few different numbers, which I'll read for you at the end here. But in any case, thanks for tuning in no matter what. For our special like end-of-year holiday one, we always get a few requests for reggae, and of course, we usually get one from the Black Inmate Fellowship peeps out at Joyceville. So we're going to send out this Lee Scratch Perry to everyone listening in Joyceville. Enjoy.
We of the prison make them go home at them yard for love up and love one. We of the prison make them go home at them yard for love up and them young ones. Free them up, even for a day. Free them up, as a paradise day. Free them up. Even for a day, make them love up. I'll give them love one. We just think to be Christ, a man of his freedom. It's the big jump. Take it from me, as the world has done. It's the double gum. You live so high, overlook him. Have no heart by the nitty nitty gritty. If people cry and you have no pity, if it's to be made, say be free up. This sister make she do my yard. Go home up, a loved one. Free up a brother make him do my yard. Go speak up, a loved one. Free them up, even for a day. Free them up, that's the paradise. Free them up, even for a day. Make them love up, give them love once. You free them, some you chill, some you beat, some you kill, some. Mr. Big Jump, you taunt, some you want, some you plant, some you chant, some. A double gum, free them up, even for a day. Free them up, that's the bad I say. Free them up, even for a day. Make them love up, I'll feed them love one.
Another brother, prisoners by the score, I lean up your door, prisoners by the score, broken out in sore, some soul, time to meet the truth, beat the world, I let the ice be, leave up the prisoner, make you do my love, love up, love one. Pay up the priest, I make him do my yard for rub up. Loved one, free them up, even for a day. Free them up, now I will say. Free them up, even for a day. Make them love up, I'll take them love one. Leave so high and get so broken. Bungalow, drink champagne and play their game. In your bungalow, free them up, even for a day. Free them up, but I say, free them up, even for a day. Make them love up.
Da 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 da.
Now let's hear some Ella Fitzgerald with Prison House Blues.
This house is surely getting raided. Yes, sir. 30 days in jail with my back turned to the wall. 30 days in jail with my back turned to the wall. Look here, Mr. Jailkeeper. Put another gal in my store. I don't mind being in jail, but I gotta stay there so keeps on tickling, I'm gonna lick him on in. Good morning, blues. Blues, how do you do? I can't take it.
So yeah, if you want to get a hold of us, you can phone us 613-329-2693 all the time. If someone doesn't pick up, it's usually going to be Alex Jackson who picks up. You can always leave a voicemail. We'll check that and try to play it. If you leave a message on the show, we check it all the time. And if you want to get this number added to pin cards, or you know someone who needs it added to the pin cards, especially if CSC needs this, you can give them Alex Jackson's address, which is 62 Fifth Field Company Lane, Kingston, Ontario, Kilo 7, Lima 3, Narwhal 6, K7L 3N6. And again, 613-329-2693, and we will get those messages and do our best to get those on the air here. We're going to play some music by Eloquent, Saturday Night Fever, here on CFRC 101.9 FM, Calls from Home. Played that John Prine song earlier, and we got another request for some more John Prine. That happens. So we're going to play Illegal Smile by John Prine from 1978 right here on Calls from Home, CFRC 101.9 FM.
When I woke up this morning, things were looking bad. Seemed like total silence was the only friend I had. A bowl of oatmeal tried to stare me down and won. And it was 12 o'clock before I realized I was having no fun. But fortunately, I have the key to escape reality. And you may see me tonight with an illegal smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't kill anyone? No, I'm just trying to have me some fun. Well, last time I checked my bankroll, it was getting thin. Sometimes it seems like the bottom is the only place I've been. I chased a rainbow down a one-way street, dead end. And all my friends turned out to be insurance salesmen. But fortunately, I have the key to escape reality. And you may see me tonight
an illegal smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't kill anyone? No, I'm just trying to have me some fun. Trying to get away from all the years inside my walls. I dreamed the police heard everything I thought. What then? Well, I went to court and the judge's name was... Whatever happened to him? But fortunately, I have the key to escape reality. And you may see me tonight with an illegal smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't kill anyone? I know I'm just trying to have me some fun. Well done, son of a gun, hot dog bun, a toe of the hun. My sister is a nun.
So we also got a request that came in over the Cosmo Home Facebook group for... something with a Tragically Hip. And I don't normally like to play the Tragically Hip. It's the whole reason I got into campus radio isn't to play them. The request was for something they don't get to hear very often. They didn't want to hear Bob Cajun or New Orleans Is Sinking or any of the really famous songs, Head by a Century. So I'm going to play In a World Possessed by the Human Mind, which is off of the last album that Tragically Hip put out. I'm not going to give away the requester's name, but thank you so much for sending that in to Calls From Home. Let's hear that right now here on CFRC.
Then I think you said it's fine.
calls from home with some stuff that came my way, one request, and one kind of video I was told I should check out and maybe play on the show. So the first one is actually a project. It was put up a little while ago by Prisoners of Age, a long-running organization about the problems of dealing with getting out of prison and you're 55 or 60 and what do you do? So one of the things they did is they actually ran a series of interviews with prisoners who are LGBT who were released from Sing Sing prison in the last few years. So it features a couple of different voices speaking about their experience, part of the Be the Evidence project at Fordham University. And then I got a request for a Talking Heads song, which I'm a big fan of Talking Heads. So I'll end with something bittersweet, This Must Be the Place by Talking Heads. That's been Calls from Home. See you in 2017.
My name is Dwan. I'm 55 years old. I was born in Brooklyn, New York. I was on the down low, you know. I didn't really start coming out until, well, I came out when I was young, but I mean, it was just really hard for me to accept it, you know. Like I went through men and women, you know, because I was trying to find myself, mm-hmm. you know.
I'm Randy Killings, and I'm 49. Well, I was originated in Brooklyn, and my mom's had me in Jamaica and came back to New York.
My name is Mark. I'm 44 years old. I was born in Manhattan. Went to prison for a while, and now I'm here enjoying my life.
So tell me, I want to hear the love story.
Well, actually we met on the medication line going to our
medication
that one night, and one of our mutual friends had brought Mark down. I think you had just got transferred.
Yeah, I got transferred.
And he said, I got somebody you meet, wanted you to meet, and he told him the same thing. And when we met, I just was attracted instantly, which was unusual for me because I don't usually deal with any kind of activity in jail, but when I saw him, I said, you're going to be my husband. And he laughed, and next day we started a relationship.
I grew up always gay, but I was so boisterous and strong with it, I didn't get a lot of abuse or stigmas or things that most gays go through.
Everywhere I went, everyone knew I was gonna be like, yo, that's Randy gay, but yo, don't mess with him. He ain't dealing with that, you know.
We were in something called maximum prison. Maximum prison are people that are not actually coming home for a very long time if they're coming home. So the mindset is like, this is mine, this is how I'm gonna run it. And that's how it was. And there was no change in it. You have to get stronger in jail.
Yeah.
You really do, because it's such a closed-in community where if you're not strong enough, you'll get sucked under.
Yes, you get sucked
under. You'll be devoured. I was always a good person, but the reason I was in jail this time was because at that time I was into a lifestyle where it was a lot of money. I hung out with a lot of guys. It was a stick-up crew, and we wore a lot of jewelry and stuff. And I smoked crack. As I was leaving, the guy tried to rob me outside of the crack house, and we were fighting, and I punched him hard, and he fell backwards on to the Johnny Pump, and it went through his head. In the time it took for me to be released, they told me, it gave me a CR date to get out. I immediately just laid down everything. I stopped using, which was predominantly my problem. I transferred to another side of Sing Sing, which is called the CORE program, mm-hmm. which helped people integrate back into society and give them an option. And I knew that if I went back to where I was from, that it would be really, really hard for me. I signed up for Project Renewal PTS program. It was parole for housing for transition housing for parolees. Right there, I prayed that God would take the taste out of my mouth, not to get high, because
I got clean, but it was a different feeling when I was in the free air, you know. So I had to go to a program for a year, which I completed very, very quickly. I graduated in like 4 months. And my director said, you know, you have a gift, because I was always helping people and connecting with them. He said, maybe you need to think about counseling.
I look at them and I see these two, how their relationship, you know, yeah. I mean, they're married and stuff like that. And that's what I want to be. Right now, you know, I'm looking, I'm hoping to find somebody nice that, you know, I could grow with, you know, spend the rest of my time with.
Thank you.